It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HBR1 stations, Fridays, and then online in our Helping Hand directory at hawaiipublicradio.org. Each week on All Things Considered, we use Helping Hand to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you very much for listening. This week, we've got a distinguished returning guest organizations, one of the organizations Helping Hand is really there for, Special Olympics and Special Olympics Hawaii. They are founded on the belief that people with intellectual disabilities can, with proper instruction and encouragement, learn, enjoy, and benefit in a lot of different ways from participation in individual and team sports, which they offer, adapted as necessary to meet the needs of those with special intellectual and physical limitations. We're going to hear about their fundraising and awareness event, October 28th in Waikiki, Over the Edge for Special Olympics, where participants rappel off the side of the Hyatt Regency. Tracy Bender has been our guest before. She is Special Olympics Hawaii Director of Development, and we are grateful to have her back with us today. Hi, Tracy. Thank you.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me again.
You are welcome. What a great organization you work for. I'm sure everybody wants to have you guys in the door. First, let's paint a picture of the regular programs that Special Olympics offers, the ages, and when they meet.
Sure. Special Olympics Hawaii is a year-round program, despite what some people think. They think we have one huge event at the University of Hawaii over the summer. And that actually is not true. We are a year-round program offering sports trainings and competitions for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Currently, we have 9 competitive sports, which are basketball, bowling, bocce, swimming, softball, soccer, track and field, flag football, and powerlifting.
It's a lot.
It is. And then our 10th sport is a demonstration sport. We do offer golf on the Big Island, but there's no competition aspect.
I get it. It's more to just do it as an individual or
yes,
to learn the skills.
To learn the skills. And they do run a tournament up there with athletes and family members and community members that want to come as well.
And for folks, in terms of getting having their loved one participate, the times that this would occur, and I'm thinking about their schedule and how somebody who has a loved one, like when would it, you know, try to paint a picture of how it would work into their life. Well, it meets during the day or it meets at this hour.
Sure. Right. So Special Olympics Hawaii is a sports organization that's very typical like any other sports organization. So you're going to have a coach. And if I was a parent that had a child with an intellectual disability, my first step would be reaching out to Special Olympics Hawaii to find out what teams are available for my child to join. So typically we're going to do it in your geographical area where you live, which is unlike, you know, regular sports as well. And we're going to have you match you up with a sport and a coach. And then it's up to that coach to tell you when they have their practices.
So it's really dependent on that coach. So it's very individualized.
It's very individual. Yes. Again, we're like any other sports organization, you know, t-ball, soccer, volleyball. It's going to be the coach that's going to talk to the parents, that it's going to depends on availability of the facility, and then the coach will tell you so. But what I can tell you is what we like to hear, what we like to know is that our teams are practicing 2 or 3 times a week and getting ready for our area competition, whether you're the Windward side, Honolulu, Island of Kauai, whatever your area is. We want to know you're getting ready for your area competition. Once you participate in your area competition, you automatically qualify for the state games. Mm-hmm. So we have over 40 area competitions statewide, and then we have 3 state games.
And when dialing back to, so a parent reaches out to you guys, I live in Mililani, they say, I'm interested in getting something for my 10-year-old boy. They would ask you what teams have availability. Is it also a matter of, do the teams fill up is what my question is. So let's say in Mililani, you have 9 different sports or a lot. Is it possible that several could be full?
Not typically could be full. But what could be possible is we may not have that for your age level. So I've used a child as an example, but I do want to make the point that we're for adults as well. So perhaps one particular team, which we call delegations, is majority of them or almost all of them might be children. And maybe I have a family member that's an adult, we would then probably steer you to the next nearest adult team.
I get it. So it would be based on, because Special Olympics goes from 8 to no.
Correct.
Is 8 the beginning age?
8 is the competition age, but we can talk later about the other programs that we offer. But
I get it. So it would be age-based, so there is rarely going to be a situation where the teams are full, but it's more about finding a team that would fit the age of the potential participant.
Correct, because our competitions are going to be division-based and ability-based, age, things like that. So,
and there are, when it comes to any potential costs for participants.
So this is the great part to share. Special Olympics is absolutely free for our participants. So there is no registration fee. When even our neighbor island folks, when they come down to Oahu for our state games, all of their airfare, their ground transportation, their housing, their meals, all competition costs, everything's all free of charge.
And that's because of enormous generosity, obviously. How do you guys get the funding to pull this off?
Yes, we work really hard, take every opportunity we can to get the word out there, like Helping Hands and sitting with you, Dave, and letting people know that we are here. We do need assistance from the community. We have corporate sponsors. We have individual donors. We have grants. Of course, our grant writer constantly running for grants. And then we run fundraisers as well. So as a director of development, that is my duty to keep that whole ball spinning and making sure we get our name out there and hoping to pique people's interest in contacting us and saying, hey, we want to get involved and possibly help you with making a donation.
So people can... And government? Is the government in doing any of that?
We do have some, city and county grants as well, and federal grant coming down through our school-based program called Unified School. So we get a grant from the United States Department of Education. So, yes.
And so people, when you describe the geographical makeup of the program and the way it's all over the state operating, some people, when it comes to sponsoring, they could sponsor a particular branch if they wanted or in their area. It's possible. I'm trying to think of ideas for people who are listening.
Yes, absolutely. So we have, I'll say what we're on the island of Lanai, Molokai, and we also have the East Hawaii and West Hawaii areas of the Big Island, so Hilo and Kona area. Maui and Kauai. On Oahu, we have Windward area, Honolulu area, Central.
And
area.
So people could grab one of those.
You could. So each of those areas that I mentioned, except for Oahu, we have one area director. The other areas have area directors as well. Someone could talk to the area director and say, I'm interested in helping Kauai only raise some money for the Kauai area competitions, Kauai area athletes. That's totally possible. So I am housed out of the state office, and I'm responsible for raising funds that help pay for our state competition. But your good question, Dave, absolutely. Our areas do fundraising on their own and need assistance as well.
That's a great way for people around the state to super serve the Special Olympics by helping out in one particular.
Yes, yeah. And oftentimes really successfully because communities want to give to people in their community and see with their own eyes, you know, what's happening.
Right. Yeah. And that would be, as you described it, geographically is going to be how it works.
Yes.
You'd be supporting people in your community who would be using it. Program the wide range of folks that can take advantage of this. And you pointed out something really important. Often people can, and I should know better because you've told me about the bocce person who's like in their 80s or 90s on Hawaii Island.
Yes.
So there's no age. This is something that people throughout their lives can take advantage of. And if you have a loved one, really at any age, this could be a wonderful opportunity for you. And explain how that breaks down.
Yeah, so we... do you mean the programs? You want
to
know?
Yeah, it starts. It's like you, because we had said, I asked it early. You said we get to the age part early.
Right, later. Right. So Special Olympics has programs that for all ages. So we start with what we call our Young Athletes Program. So it's an inclusionary program for toddlers 2.5 to 5. So when I say inclusionary, I mean I might have a child with an intellectual disability that I'm going to bring to the program, but I am more than welcome to also bring sibling. Neighbor, cousin without an intellectual disability, that will join in the class, so to speak. And what the class is we're working on large motor skills, small motor skills, pre-sport skills, very basic, if you can imagine toddlers, how to kick a ball, how to throw a ball, you know, what is a pulling motion, what is a hitting motion. And the other really cool thing I like to share about this program is it's not only for the children, it's for the parents as well. Because the parents will go away with learning these simple activities that they can do at home.
With their child.
With their child, right. And then again, the inclusionary aspect is really amazing as well. Because as children, we don't know the difference of a person with and without an intellectual disability.
And you're starting the path of potential future inclusion really early.
Yes, the whole concept of acceptance.
Yep,
and we're all more alike than different, right?
And that's critical if you can do that.
Yes.
At that age, the kind of benefit. And I guess that's a good lead into the unified sports.
Sure. We have an in-between one, too,
in-between
program between the competition and young athletes called Future Stars. Yeah, the 6 to 7-year-olds. So we have individual skills. Our Future Stars program is about individual skills. So if I'm in basketball, Future Stars program, I'm going to learn how to dribble. I'm going to learn how to shoot. I'm going to learn all the fundamentals.
One-on-one.
To work on myself. And then I'm going to come to the competitions as well. You still get to compete. You still get an award. And then when I'm 8, guess what? I'm ready to join the team. Mm. I'm a competitive person. I have all the fundamentals. So that's our programming right there. Dave, you talked about our unified sports. That's another amazing thing that people don't know about that we do. It's an opportunity for people, again, with and without intellectual disabilities to train and compete together. So we're very proud to say we span all ages. We have unified teams in elementary school, middle school, high school, and adults. And it's an amazing program. It's especially the unified basketball in elementary school level. Oh my goodness, it's amazing. You know, it's really amazing.
And you're creating teams out of people. So the people who do not have a disability who want can they just say, hey, I want to be on the team to participate? I mean, so I guess I'm saying, is it open to people without disabilities who just want to participate?
Right. That's the whole idea. So if it's school-based, obviously you have to go to that school.
Right.
Because you're representing your school just like you are in any other
sport.
Right. But if you're an adult, this is really a cool thing too. We have unified basketball, unified softball. So how many of us Weekend Warriors out there, those of us that think our career's not over in sports, but maybe you just can't figure out how to make that work, again, you can call Special Olympics. We can see if there's a team near you that is offering unified. They have to be offering, you know, unified. And then you join the team, go out and practice, exercise. I mean, amazing experience. Oftentimes we hear that it's our partners. We call them unified partners. Our partners feel like they're getting way more out of it than the athletes. And then the whole opportunity to be a part of a competition.
Right.
And we do the whole thing, Dave, with the medals and the music and the announcement. And to experience that again as an adult.
Right.
People love it.
Yeah, it's nostalgic. But it's also, it's like you pointed out, it's just a good feeling to know you're helping somebody feel more accepted.
It is. And then I also want to mention what's really amazing, especially in the middle and high school levels of unified sports, is it gives the non-traditional student athlete an opportunity to be part of sports in their school. Because as we know now, sports are so competitive at the high school level. If you're not playing football or baseball as a youngster, you're not going to be able to make it on your team. And so we're talking about maybe some of the Honor Society students or some of the musicians that are at your school that still love sports but can't make it on that varsity baseball team. You can be a part of your unified sports team and still have that great opportunity.
Or maybe they just don't want the pressure of that, and they could have a different kind of experience where it's more about giving back and getting a little bit of your sports energy out.
Right. Or a soccer player doing track and field, or a baseball player playing basketball. We see a lot of that as well, too. They might be an athlete, but they just want to do a different sport.
Right. Oh, that's a good point, too. Try other things because they love sports, and it's one they're not quite as good at, but they want to experiment with
it. Right. And still have this amazing experience that most people don't get to have. So we're proud of those that join us. Very proud.
Over the Edge is one of the, you guys do a lot of creative events to support what you're doing, and they're great ways for the public to get involved. This is an annual one. It's October 28th, Hyatt Regency Waikiki Beach Resort and Spa. And is there a cutoff to get involved in this event in terms of like a deadline, or basically it's when it sells out?
Yeah, it's when it sells out. So we encourage people to sign up as soon as you can. Also because there are a fundraising component to it. So we want to give you as much time as you can to reach out to as many of your family and friends and give them an opportunity to donate and support you as well. I think people, we all oftentimes forget that you just have to ask. People want to help. People are good and they want to help. But if you don't ask, they don't know, right, to give. So yes.
You create, so you get in on it as early as you can. This is to rappel off the side of, was it 40, 30?
It's 40 stories. 40 stories. Yes, it's the chance to support our local athletes by doing some fundraising. So it's $1,000 minimum fundraising goal. Many of our participants raise above and beyond that because we call it their fundraising journey. They might start thinking, I just think this is so cool, I want to rappel. We send out weekly email updates and we transition our fundraisers from thinking about themselves to thinking, I'm actually doing this for the athletes.
Right.
And you see the difference in their Facebook postings, in the emails they start sending out to their family and friends, that it's less about them and more about supporting the athletes and giving their family and friends the chance to have that same great feeling they are feeling to support our athletes.
Right. And it's a cool way for them. They can support you in doing the event. And by doing that, it's just a pool of cash that you're able to give to Special Olympics, which is really, and you can do it with friends too, right? So everybody would need to raise a grand to get onto the rappels.
Yes. So what we do is you can sign up as an individual fundraiser. Your minimum fundraising goal would be $1,000. Or you can create a team. So a team requires at least 3 people. The cool thing about the team is not only do you rappel with your friends, but you help each other fundraise. So if we were on a team, Dave, and I only did $500, but you did $1,500, you would cover me to have the opportunity to go down to. So that's kind of a cool perk. And we also have a certain date that if you raise your minimum amount by a certain time, we put your team name on the back of your shirt. So many people like that opportunity. And we have 3 ropes, so you can go 3 people at a time.
Wow. And so you could do it with someone else. And how many people, you had told me it was about 100, less than 100?
Less than 100. We have 96 spots
people
can go, right.
But then people come and watch down on the
on the pool deck,
right.
So we are rappelling off of the Eva Tower, excuse me. We rappel off the Eva Tower.
Down into that area in between the two towers.
Correct. That Japengo Pool is that pool right down there. So they go up to the roof, gets escorted up to the roof, rappel down, and then you actually land on the roof of the pool, the bar.
Oh.
You land on the roof of the bar. We have a scaffolding set up there that's a stairwell, and you climb up that scaffolding stairwell and enter into a room, hotel room. And there you will be greeted with by a Special Olympics athlete, hugs and kisses, lays, congratulations, water, photography. And I should mention that we have some of the most amazing pictures of people rappelling. That's kind of a perk for you as a rappeller that we want to take. Make sure you get a nice, memorable picture that you can use on your Christmas card or proof that you actually did this to your family and friends. And it's an amazing experience.
And you can kind of, to the people, almost it's the best person to send it to is anyone who parted with their dough to try to support the cause.
Absolutely.
Here you go. This is it. This is what you paid for.
Right.
And what you really paid for is to help Special Olympics, but this was just a cool, shiny object way of being, of, you know, focusing on something else to raise money for a really important cause.
We also live stream this entire thing. So you get your time scheduled ahead of time. You know what time you're rappelling. We encourage people to send an email or post on your social media the scheduled time you're going to go rappel. And it could be either 30 minutes either side of that time. Send people the link to the live stream and people can actually watch you rappel. They can send you a message. We have an announcer there we can feed the message to the announcer, and the announcer can say over the loudspeaker to the person rappelling, you know, Aunt Pam from Minnesota said good job. So that's a really cool perk as well, too. Proof that you went over the edge.
Sure. No, that's a nice way to include. And people are welcome to come there, too.
Yeah, right? Welcome to come there and watch.
But you're saying for people who can't make it to the site, they can do it.
Yeah, the Hyatt Regency Waikiki Beach Resort and Spa, I should say, the best host for us. So very generous to us. They stanchion off a area for us. So we have kind of our own little area, spectator viewing area with about 20 chairs and 4 cabanas, a water station. We're treated very well there. So, and free parking.
Well, that event, it's got to be a lot of ways. So let's say people, in addition to, so we know about how people can support the event as a participant. Are there other ways to support the event? Do you need any particular, and it could be in general, not necessarily for this one, but I know that there are a lot of generous companies that help you make this possible by, like, the hotel providing the space and other people who provide different supplies you need. Are there particular things that you need for your events that sometimes you fall short on? Maybe it's food, maybe it's tables, chairs that are rented for events, just anything that you think that somebody listening might have a company or decide that would be a cool sponsorship angle to support.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about that. We do so much so that we're talking about our fundraising event, but our competitions are who we are, really, you know, and this is why we're fundraising, is for our competition. So an example of a need for anyone that might have a food restaurant out there that might want to sponsor us or donate meals, our summer games is 3 days long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we need to feed our athletes meals for all those days. And so we've Saturday lunch, Sunday lunch, Saturday dinner, you know, anything that anybody might be able to provide. Like, I'll give you an example. IHOP Hawaii celebrated its 10th anniversary in Hawaii last year. So they were very generous in keeping us involved with them for the whole 10th year anniversary celebration and donated 700 meals for one of our events and 500 for another one of our events. So seems mind-boggling. They made it work. They made 700 bentos for us. But that is an amazing cost savings for us as well. So we appreciate that.
And you're pointing out, so throughout the year, away from the fundraising events, the actual competitions are an ongoing thing that's throughout the year that each of them, so beyond the summer, also in the fall, I mean, each time that there is an event that you guys are doing with the athletes is a huge opportunity to donate supplies.
Correct, right. So we have our summer games is the first one that comes up in a year. So that would be in either end of May or beginning of June. Mm-hmm. And then our next is our fall games called Aokake Classic in August. And then our last games of the year is the Holiday Classic, which is in November, usually the week before Thanksgiving. But this year, it's Veterans Day weekend. Mm. And so at every competition, we have athletes. We need to feed them meals. We're lucky we get water donated. But you had mentioned like tents, tables, chairs. We have a company that we work with. But if there's anybody that might be able to donate things as well, that's great for us. So there's a variety of things that are helpful to us that we appreciate anybody reaching out to us.
And the water is a big one. So people who have access to bottled water would be welcome to contribute. And so there are three sets of those each year.
There's three sets, right. And we were talking about meals for the athletes, but I do want to mention we feed our volunteers as well as a way to say thank you. I mean, we're a sports organization out there in the hot, beat-down sun, so we want to make sure we treat our volunteers well. Special Olympics Hawaii has the most volunteers of any nonprofit here in the state. We have over 9,500 volunteers throughout the year that help us out. At Summer Games alone, we feed 2,500 volunteers over that three-day time span. Because we're conducting 4 sports. We basically take over lower campus of the University of Hawaii. And so it's a lot of volunteers. And again, any fruits, snacks, you know, anything that people can help us with. We feed them a lunch as well, burgers, hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, things like that. So all of that's helpful.
There are a lot of ways then to support these things with cash or tangible supplies or volunteering your time at any one of these events.
Right, correct.
To contact Special Olympics Hawaii, go to sohawaii.org. When you're there on the contact page at the website, you can find a long list of emails that are broken out with the different aspects of if you want to volunteer or if you wanted to provide supplies or you wanted to figure out a sponsorship opportunity. You can find the emails to do that on the contact page at sohawaii.org, or you can give them a buzz, 943-8808. 943-8808. You can get the full interview, plus the radio feature, all the contact information, and all of our other Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand under the pull-down news menu. There's so much that you guys do. As we've outlined some of it, there's got to be some things we didn't mention that are important. What comes to mind is the director of development. You must be thinking, oh, we never mentioned...
Well, I do want to mention that next year is our 50th anniversary. So as some people may know, Eunice Kennedy Shriver is the founder of Special Olympics. She did so in 1968. So 2018 is our 50th anniversary for Special Olympics Hawaii as well. So we're looking forward to having a great year. We're hoping more people find out about us and get inspired to join us in our 50th year. Another significant thing happening for us next year is we're taking some athletes over to Seattle for the 2018 U.S. Games.
Wow.
So it's a chance for Hui o Hawaii, our team from Hawaii, to compete against all the other states' Special Olympics programs across the nation. So we're always very proud and we always do really well.
What an inspiring thing for the people who get to go and do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a trip to go. So again, all of that's free for our athletes. So we're next year not only, and this year not only fundraising for our local programming, but we're needing to raise some funds so that we can take our teams up into the national games.
What an inspiring thing to support. And that's a great way you could sponsor the team going to Seattle.
You absolutely could, yes, because we're, again, talking about airfare,
right.
Meals, and uniforms, too, as well. So it just whatever you can imagine what it takes to take a team up is what we would need help with.
It's Tracy Bender, Special Olympics Hawaii, Director of Development, and our very special guest, again, here on Helping Hand. Lots of ways to support your organization. It's very inspiring, extraordinarily humbling stuff to talk about with you. And I'm always grateful that you take the time to do it and share all these ways that you can bring something positive into your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. You're an amazing friend to Special Olympics Hawaii. We really appreciate it. Thank you.